right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this morning. Thank you, Dove, Christina, everyone who spoke this morning. And turning the mic over now to you, Regina Dawn Akers, and the room to you, Barb Dearwater.
Good morning. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday morning weekly gathering. It's good to be here with you all. I'm just scanning the room right now, noticing who is here. So yeah, it's good to be here. There's a couple people here, a few people here I don't know, but I do know most of y'all, which is really nice, really sweet. Why don't I start by playing We Are Awakening by Deva Pramel and Mitten, so that you all can scan the room, see who's here, and greet one another. So this is it, Awakening by Deva Pramel and Mitten. Just share a statement of purpose. For those of you who do not know Awakening Together, we have a shared common purpose, which is awakening to one true self. And then we have five core values. And typically, whoever the minister is on Sunday morning, typically they share a part of either our shared purpose or our five core values, which is really kind of a focus for today's message. And so today I have selected one of our core values. We realize everyone is equal, and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. And if I was to highlight a portion of this core value as really key to today's message, it would be this. We realize everyone is equal and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. And most importantly in that, for today's message, it's not said exactly in these words, it's inferred in these words, where it says everyone is equal and no one has spiritual intuition that's an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. That implies that we all have equal spiritual intuition, although that's not exactly what this says. That we all have equal spiritual intuition. And in fact, I think it even implies further that our individual, I'll use that word for right now, that our individual spiritual intuition is our guiding authority. And I think that's very important to today's message. We each have an equal spiritual intuition. And my individual spiritual intuition is my guiding authority. And your individual spiritual intuition is your guiding authority. Therefore, none of us have a spiritual intuition that is an authority over others. So that's the core value that highlights today's message best. Before we get into today's message, I would like to make some announcements. I would like to highlight Thursdays right now in the sanctuary, primarily because there's some changes happening on Thursday evening. Since about January of this year, I was leading an NTI discussion group on Thursday nights, but recently I let that go. In fact, recently I let about 50% of what I do, maybe even 60% of what I do in the sanctuary go. So that I could have more time for meditation and contemplation on my own. And so as a result of me letting go of the Thursday night NTI discussion group, new stuff is happening in that same time. By the way, that time is 9 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday nights. So that would be 6 p.m. Pacific. And really now two things have taken that place. It's kind of almost an every other week kind of thing. So on the 1st, the 3rd, and when it happens, the 5th Thursday of the month, 1st, 3rd, and 5th Thursday, Reverend Bart Craig is going to continue the NTI discussion group. So about every other week, the NTI discussion group is going to continue. And he asked me what I thought would be a good starting point for him, and I recommended NTI Matthew 14, but I don't know for sure if he'll take that advice or if he'll do something different. So this week will be the first week Bart leads the NTI discussion group. So if you are interested in NTI, please show up and join with Bart Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And again, he'll lead that NTI discussion group on the 1st, 3rd, and 5th Thursdays of the month. And then on the 2nd and 4th Thursdays of the month at that same time, 9 p.m. Eastern time, Reverend Gloria Wells is leading a book group, and the title is Between the Lines, and she had her first book group this past Thursday. You can find the audio on our website underneath Interact and Sanctuary Groups. Oops, that just reminded me. I need to go make sure that that got posted. Let me make a note. Let's say that by tomorrow you should be able to find it. I might still need to create that page. I think I'll tell you what I've been doing. Just as an aside, I have been starting to build a new Awakening Together website. And I think that probably on Friday, from the time I stopped meditation until about time I went to bed, I was working on that website, and I don't think I remembered to go and post Gloria's audio. So I need to do that. But once I get that posted, that will show up underneath Interact and Sanctuary Groups. So on Thursday nights at 9 p.m., kind of an every other week NTI discussion group or book group. And the name of Gloria's book is that she's looking at first is The Transparency of Things by Rupert Spira, which is one of my favorite books. So also I want to highlight one other thing about Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 3 p.m. Pacific. Starting this week, Jay McCormick is going to be leading a new group. It's the Michael Langford Study Group, and I believe he's also going on about an every other week basis during that time frame. And the book that he's going to begin with is Michael Langford's book, How to Live a Life That Knows Only Love. So starting this week, Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, Jay McCormick and the new Michael Langford Study Group. So if you're interested in that, please show up for that as well. There's a lot happening in the sanctuary. I recommend checking the sanctuary schedule. Gosh, I would take up the whole hour and a half or a whole hour and 15 minutes that we have if I highlighted all of the exciting things that go on in this sanctuary. For now, I'm going to move on. You all know, of course, about our fall retreat in October, and maybe you also know about the India pilgrimage in February. If you don't, you can find out about both of these by going to our website and looking under events. They're both there. But I want to let you know today about a third event that is not yet listed on the menu bar, and it's pretty far out in the future. It's in 2018. it's going to be the next A Course in Miracles conference. This one will be happening in San Francisco, and it will be the last weekend of February 2018. Again, it has not yet been formally announced, and this is why it's not yet on our menu bar. It will be once it's formally announced. But I wanted to let you know that in 2018, Awakening Together will be represented at that conference by Lynn Johnson and David Fishman. And I also wanted to let you know that we have purchased 5 discount tickets at $4.99. Once this conference is announced, the beginning price for the public is going to be $5.49. And then if you know anything about the Course in Miracles conference, you know that those tickets increase, you know, every few months. So the ticket price that we have, $4.99, is the best that is ever going to be available. One of those tickets has already been claimed, which means we only have 4 tickets remaining. So if you know that you are interested in the Course in Miracles conference, I know some of you go every time there is a Course in Miracles conference, please feel free to contact me for one of these tickets at $4.99. We have plenty of time, so I am willing to let you pay for it, you know, a certain amount each month until it's paid for. There's plenty of time until the conference happens. So if you know that you're interested, please contact me, ReginaDawnAkers@yahoo.com, and you can claim one of the 4 remaining tickets. I also just want to highlight what's happening tonight in the sanctuary. Sunday nights are becoming one of our most interesting nights by far. There's always something going on here on Sunday night. Tonight, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, I will be here with my 7 Steps journal. I've been doing that for years in that particular time slot. And then immediately following me, at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Ted Poppy will be here tonight with a workshop on Hearing the Voice for God. And then following Teddy at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Gina Lake will be here continuing her mini-series on Busting the Illusion. And last week she said that tonight's focus will be meditation. I also just want to remind you that the way that we support our mini-series teachers is by your donations. There is a special donation option on our website underneath Donate where you can donate for the mini-series. And any of the money that you donate goes directly to the current mini-series teacher, which right now is Gina Lake. So I know a lot of people show up for Gina's mini-series. I see that. So I'm hoping that many of you will donate. Remember, the suggested donation is anywhere from $2 per week to $10 per week. And since this is an 8-week mini-series, that would mean the suggested donation per person is $16 to $80 for the entire time. And you do need to donate before the end of the miniseries. At some point when the miniseries ends, we will change it so that the donation starts going to the next miniseries person. So try to donate during the month of June. If you donate during the month of June, it will go to Gina Lake. After June has ended, it will be too late to donate to her. All right? So, why don't we go ahead and begin the more devotional part of our weekly gathering with an opening song, which will be followed by a time of silence and then a prayer. The opening song is by an artist named Stephen Walters, and it's called Listen Closely.
There is a song only the heart can hear. Listen closely. Older than time, yet fresh as the fragrance of a flower, is this melody. Poets and lovers have spoken of the song, such sweet despair. Reach for this and it's closer than your hand. Let go and it's there. And then the music, such sweet music, suddenly the music's everywhere, everywhere. Sing the mountain, sing the rising sun, sing the flowing river and the valley just beyond. The mystery has no end, just goes on and on. Sing until the singer hears the song. Gate, gate, para gate, para sangate, bodhiswaha. Gate, gate, para gate, para sangate, bodhiswaha. Friend, I know that you can hear the song. I see the melody in your eyes. I needn't know your song, it is the same. May you always hear this music. May your heart be filled with music. May all hearts hear this music. And our voices fill the skies. Sing the mountain. Sing the rising sun. Sing the flowing river. And the valley just the mystery has no ending, it just goes on and on. Sing until the singer hears the song. Gate, gate, para gate, para sangate, bodhiswaha. Gate, gate, para gate, para sangate, bodhiswaha. There is a song only the heart can hear. Listen closely.
Let's go into silence. The prayer today is that we listen closely to our individual guiding spiritual intuition. Also, as a part of that prayer, if we are someone who feels that we do not know how to listen to our individual guiding spiritual intuition, the prayer is that we begin to notice how to listen. That we begin to notice how we do listen. And that we begin to turn our attention more and more in the direction of that noticing. So that our individual guiding spiritual intuition seems to become clearer and clearer for us. Also a prayer that that individual guiding spiritual intuition becomes not only clear, but all that we really want to listen to. That our ears become more and more focused on that intuition. So focused on that intuition that we are willing to disappear into it completely. And let it take us where it will. Amen. All right. So what's up next is our inspirational reading by a member. And today, the member that's going to do the reading is Sonia Spahn. And she is going to be reading a letter that I recently received in the mail, addressed to Awakening Together. And then the first line of the letter says, "To whom it may concern." This is a letter from a prisoner in the California State Penitentiary. And Sonia, the mic is yours.
Good morning, all. Happy Sunday. Can you hear me? Yay! All right. That's a wonderful letter, and I'll read it now. He says his name in the first paragraph of the letter. And if you're interested in his name, you can contact Regina afterwards. When he originally wrote the letter, he had no idea that we'd be reading it. So I'm going to not say the name. To whom it may concern, all great truths are simple, an Asian proverb. Greetings of peace, and may this letter find you well and richly spiritually blessed. My name is, and he gives his name, and I'm presently incarcerated for making an unwise choice in my life. However, since I've been here 7 years, I've discovered yoga, meditation, and mysticism. I'm writing because over the years in this dark, tiny prison cell, I've been reading, thinking, and practicing meditation. I have discovered and recovered my true self, and he capitalizes self. That is, recognizing that I am a spiritual being having a human experience. I used to be a Christian, but since I no longer read the Bible from a literal way, I've come to know that people identify the experience of Jesus the Christ as being, quote, his experience, instead of understanding that he is a symbol of the true potential, which is within all people and must be achieved by all people via his example. From John 14:12, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. I have learned how to shut down my intellect most of the time, which has opened my third eye, and now I know that the most important thing that we must know about the world is that the multiplicity of things that make it up are differentiations of one energy or substance that is made from the same source and are connected by one and the same consciousness. In other words, the infinitude of things making up the world, although appearing as separated existences, are unified through the energy substance of our being and a consciousness which appears to be individuated to us, yet it is one and the same for all. We can illustrate this as follows. Imagine a vast pool of water which becomes frozen at several spots, causing millions of ice formations of different shapes and sizes to appear. These ice formations are the separate existences that make up the world. The pool of water is the common material basis, and the altered state of energy, lowering the temperature, which differentiated the water and maintains the ice formations as separate existences, is caused by a common will. If consciousness is focused on the ice, the form part of being, there rises the illusion of being a separate existence, and the perception that the essence of the world is based on disunity. If, however, consciousness is returned to the source, then there is the experience. Instead of experience, inspirience. The inspirience that oneness of substance and consciousness is our true nature. In other words, at the point of origin of our being, we are not separate forms with separate consciousness, but one. I've tried to share my thoughts and experiences with other prisoners, but they look at me like I have two heads. And he's typed in parentheses, smile. I got it though. I realized that the body, which we experience as our own and as separate experience from other bodies, is not only made from the same energy and substance as all other bodies, but dwells in the energy substance. And through their common dwelling and origin, maintains its unity with all other things in the world. In other words, the consciousness that is now grasping the information on this page or in this recording is one and the same consciousness dwelling in all things. I've been trying to find someone to dialogue with, and your organization, Awakening Together, came to me via a friend. I have questions, concerns, and want to share with someone on the path too. I realize there's no such thing as coincidence, as everything is about divine synchronicity, and every meeting in our lives is in some way orchestrated by a divine force. And the strangers to whom we are drawn have something to teach us. I've come to also know that everything that happens in our lives comes to teach us what we need to know. We just have to be open to receive the information. Self-realization is real spiritual cultivation, not religion. All the rest is only preparation. Hearing lectures or reading books or reasoning is merely preparing the ground. It is not spiritual cultivation. Intellectual ascent and intellectual descent are not spiritual cultivation. Spiritual cultivation is, in fact, a severely practical and empirical kind of research. You take nothing on trust. You accept nothing but your own experience. You go forward alone, step by step, like an explorer in a virgin jungle, to see what you will find. All that Heru, Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, Yogananda, the Dalai Lama, Krishna, I'll spell this one, P-T-A-H-H-O-T-E-P, and the next one, Patanjali, P-A-T-A-N-J-A-L-I, Confucius, Sri Aurobindo, Lao Tzu, or anyone else can do for you is to urge you to attempt the exploration and to offer certain general hints and warnings which may be of help to you on your way. In other words, the only absolute truth or word that can be received from God or Goddess is through direct intuitional revelation. Teachers based on books are indirect teaching. Books and scriptures lead a person to live a life in such a way that the revelation becomes possible for them. But the writings themselves are not absolute truths. In other words, the belief in the literal interpretation of the scripture closes the door to understanding Jesus the Christ as a metaphor of our own life. I can't ride anyone else's spiritual coattails, as I have to do the intense work. So why believe when I can know? Jesus is not a person, but a principle. Please forgive me for writing so much, but I just wanted to share what's on my heart and make contact with some like-minded folks on the same path. I hope you'll write back to me as time avails itself. In the spirit of unity, light, and love, and then he signs it. He says, P.S., there is only one problem that we must face, and that is our belief that we are separate from God, the Source. The end. And that concludes the reading.
Thank you very much, Sonia. I noticed Lynn has written, wow, wow. Kathy has written, wow. And that's how I felt about this letter, too, which is why I chose it for today's reading. I just thought it was a wonderful, wonderful letter, deeply inspirational, and had a lot in it for us to look at and contemplate today. So this is going to be the basis of my message. Before I get into my message, because once I get into my message, I may forget to say this. If anyone would like to write to this man, just send me an email at reginadonakers@yahoo.com and I will send you his name and address. I don't feel like putting that out on the internet because, of course, we don't have such permission to do that. But email me, and assuming you're a member of Awakening Together, this is only for members. I don't want to give it to someone I don't know. But if you are a member of Awakening Together and would like to write to him, if you write to me, I will give you that information. And I have already written to him, so we know he has received at least one letter in reply. All right. So now let's let this inspiration from him lead me. I want to start by rereading one of the paragraphs in his letter. He says, self-realization is real spiritual cultivation. All the rest is only preparation. hearing lectures, or reading books, or reasoning is merely preparing the ground. It is not spiritual cultivation. Intellectual ascent and intellectual descent are not spiritual cultivation. Spiritual cultivation is, in fact, a severely practical and empirical kind of research. You take nothing on trust. You accept nothing but your own experience. You go forward alone, step by step, like an explorer in a virgin jungle to see what you will find. And in fact, the name of today's gathering is Spiritual Cultivation, like an explorer in a virgin jungle. So now maybe you know where I got the name. But I think this paragraph is deeply important. There's more in this letter that if we have time to get to today, I will. But if we spend the entire time on this one paragraph, that's okay too, because this paragraph is deeply important. As you all know, I felt guided by that individual inner spiritual intuition to start awakening together. So I have never felt that Awakening Together was my organization, as one might feel if they felt like they started it, right? I've always felt like this was, we'll call it Holy Spirit's organization. But I'm also well aware of the fact that this is not the first time that Holy Spirit has started an organization. Jesus with the 12 disciples around him was a type of organization, right? They were organized together. There's no telling how many organizations there have been. Buddha, of course, had the Sangha, right? We have no way of knowing how many organizations there have been that were literally started by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of self-realization. And yet, one by one, each of these organizations, with time, gets off track and eventually becomes the ego's organization. And that can happen to Awakening Together, too. Unless we deeply remember and continue to deeply remember so much that even when all of the bodies that are present in this room have passed away, that deep remembrance continues within the organization. Only if we deeply remember on a regular basis the purpose of this organization does this organization have even a fraction of a chance of remaining the Holy Spirit's organization. And chances are, if we're absolutely honest, that it won't. It will at some point pass away into the ego's organization. But we don't have to let that happen while we're here. And so it's important that we deeply remember the purpose of this organization. With that said, I'm going to go over this paragraph again, kind of line by line, sharing a little bit after each line. So first of all, this prisoner has written, "Self-realization is a real spiritual cultivation." And then he puts in parentheses, "not religion." And when he puts in parentheses, "not religion," I really think he is looking at every organization that may have at one time been started by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of self-realization, but then at some point was co-opted by the ego. And so he looks at all of these organizations and says, there is no spiritual cultivation there. Spiritual realization is real spiritual cultivation, not religion. All the rest is only preparation. Hearing lectures or reading books or reasoning is merely preparing the ground. It is not spiritual cultivation. Well, first of all, what else are we going to do in an online sanctuary except, you know, speak, which we'll call that the hearing lectures, right? One person is speaking at a time. Everyone else is listening. Reading books. You know, we have our I Am That study group, our NTI study group, A Course of Love study group, A Course of Miracles study group, our book group, a new Michael Langford study group, and I'm absolutely certain I'm leaving some out, the Joe Goldsmith group, right? We have all of these groups, and really what are all of these groups doing? They're reading books together, right? So we hear lectures, we read books, and then the reasoning, our discussion could fall into that. When we discuss what we've read, we're reasoning, hopefully reasoning with inspiration. But I can guarantee you, based on my own observation of what happens in the sanctuary, not all of the reasoning here is based on inspiration. A lot of the reasoning that happens here is based on belief, which is completely different than inspiration. A lot of it, some of it is based on my point of view. I'm right. That's completely different than spiritual inspiration. But what else are we going to do? I mean, if we're going to gather together in an online sanctuary, this is what we're going to do. We're going to, as he says, hear lectures, read books, and practice reasoning. And that is what we're going to do. But we don't want to become confused and think that that is the spiritual cultivation. As he says, that is merely preparing the ground. And preparing the ground is a very important step. And in fact, right now, when I seem to be in a stage where being alone, meditating alone, is by far the most important part of my spiritual journey. The preparing the ground is still an important part of it. You know, like I am still contemplating the seven steps to awakening. Or I might pick up a book by Michael Langford or Ramana Maharshi or Nisargadatta Maharaj, you know, or someone similar and read a little bit. And I find that spiritual cultivation, I mean that spiritual preparing the ground, not cultivation, the contemplation of the seven steps, the reading of the books, that is just the preparing the ground. But I find that is very important because I notice that when I get into meditation and when I'm at this, I'll call it borderland, where the mind is beginning to settle down, but then it's still trying to attract attention, trying to call me back, right? Call me back into the mind. I notice that lines from my reading will pop up in my mind, at, you know, used by inner spiritual intuition to guide my attention away from the mind calling me back and to guide my attention further into the inner journey, the meditation. And so that preparing the ground is very important. Without that preparing the ground, I would imagine that it would be much easier when the mind starts calling for attention again just to keep giving the attention back to the mind. So the preparing the ground helps us to make it through the borderland. But we want to remember the difference between preparing the ground and the actual spiritual cultivation. In this letter, we are told spiritual cultivation is, in fact, a severely practical and empirical kind of research. I love that word, research. He says you take nothing on trust. Now, what I think the word trust here means, if it was my vocabulary, is belief. You take nothing on belief. When we are preparing the ground and we are reading whatever books inspire us and we are joining in whatever discussions, you know, help to prepare the ground for us, and we're doing all of that, which is what we do here in the sanctuary. This is what we do. We prepare the ground in the sanctuary and nothing more. But the mistake we don't want to make is believing. It is a mistake to believe A Course in Miracles. It is a mistake to believe NTI. It is a mistake to believe Joel Goldsmith. It is a mistake to believe Nisargadatta Maharaj. It is a mistake to believe Michael Langford. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. It is always a mistake to believe. Whenever we enter into believing the books that we read and the teachers that we listen to, we stay with the outer journey, not the inner journey. Outer. The believing happens in the mind. The mind is outer. The book and the teacher happen in the world. The world is outer. The only purpose of those books and teachers is to inspire us, to prepare the ground, to inspire us so much that the ground is prepared so that we can go for the true spiritual cultivation, which is the inner journey. And how does that inner journey happen? That's also in this letter. You go forward alone. Step by step. We talk a lot about mighty companions. And it is fun and helpful to have mighty companions on this journey. And in fact, this particular man is writing because he doesn't have those mighty companions, and he's hoping to find some who will write letters to him. But the mighty companions are still a part of the out. The out, the experience. We can use the mighty companions to help inspire us, just like we can use the books and the teachers. We can even use the mighty companions when sometimes we're in a state of confusion and we need just a little more help with clarity, and we can go to a mighty companion that we trust with clarity and let that person help get us over that little bump so that we can go back on the inward journey. But the true spiritual cultivation is an inward journey, and you go forward alone, step by step. In other words, if Awakening Together is to remain the Holy Spirit's organization rather than becoming the ego's organization, a part of what Awakening Together is here to do is to inspire you to turn off the sanctuary and to spend time alone. This can't become about the organization. That's what's gone wrong with every organization that's ever been started. Teddy Poppy, when we first started this organization, that's exactly what he predicted we would do, and eventually he'll probably be right. He said every time you start an organization, it becomes about the organization, and he's right. That's what's always happened. He's absolutely right, and that might happen here someday, but we don't have to let it happen now. We don't have to forget what this is about now. He says, you go forward alone, step by step, like an explorer in a virgin jungle. I see three important words in that little phrase, explorer, virgin, and jungle. We go in like an explorer because none of us knows what we will find. Maybe one of the greatest disservice that any spiritual teacher could do. Unfortunately, I haven't run across any that have done this, so maybe no one has. But if they do, maybe the greatest disservice a spiritual teacher can do is tell us too much about what happened in meditation for him or her. If we had a map, a very detailed map of what was to happen in meditation, and especially if we spent too much time with that map, what would most likely happen when we went into meditation is that our mind would recreate that journey for us, but it would be purely mental. It would be going nowhere. So we're very lucky if we know very little about what's supposed to happen in meditation. And yet at the same time, there are some helpful tips that are not too detailed, but they're more general in nature. And some helpful warnings that, again, are not too detailed, but they're general in nature that can really help us. In fact, that's something else that this friend said in his letter. He mentioned this whole list of people, right? All that, and then this whole list of people, Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, etc., etc. All that they or anybody else can do for you, all that they or anybody else can do for you is to urge you to attempt the exploration. They can urge you to attempt the exploration. And offer certain general hints and warnings, which may be of help to you on your way. And we've had some of those general hints and warnings given to us, you know, especially most recently in the audios, the interviews with Michael Langford and Ellie Ruzdar. You know, for example, the general hints are that we are, the exact words that Michael Langford used is that we are attempting to see the seer. That's the goal, to see the seer. And of course we know Michael's meditation teachings of awareness, watching awareness, or the loving consciousness method, which is really, to me, basically the same thing. Nisargadatta's teaching of focusing on the I am presence, which is the same thing. Ramana Maharshi's guidance of using self-inquiry, which really is used to turn the attention to the awareness, the presence, so that we can focus on it. You know, that's a general tip, because there are all kinds of meditation out there, right? You could have meditation of focusing on the breath, meditation of focusing on the third eye, meditation of focusing on the candle flame. And Ellie Ruzdar was very clear, none of that is it. All of that meditation is not self-realization meditation. And so we have this general tip on how to meditate that we've heard from many sources, and they're all saying the same thing. That's good. So when we sit down to meditate, we're not wondering, oh, what do I do? Do I focus on my heartbeat? Do I focus on the tingle in my head? No. We have been told very clearly you do not. In fact, Ellie has been very clear this is not about an experience. It's also not about chasing objects. And although if you listen to her lightly, it sounds like she's still talking about the journey that the body takes in the world. But once you get into meditation, since listening to Elie Ruzdar is a part of preparing the ground. Once you get into meditation, what you might find is that as you are becoming very interested in, let's say, a feeling of love that has come over you, or very interested in a deep, deep peace that has come, and your mind starts saying, this is bliss, and your attention starts going to that feeling, you might hear Elie Ruzdar say, it's not about chasing objects. Right in the middle of your meditation, you'll hear her. And you might realize, this feeling of love is something that I see. Or this feeling of peace is still something that I see. And then you might hear Ramana Maharshi ask, who am I? Or you might hear Michael Langford say, you're attempting to see the seer. And suddenly your attention is turned back to awareness. Even though the feeling of love or the feeling of peace may last, you have just overcome the ego trick of focusing on that, the experience, instead of the seer, the inspirience. So the preparing the ground is a very important part of what we are doing. And the preparing the ground will pop up as these general hints and warnings during meditation to guide you. But the preparing the ground itself is not the spiritual cultivation. Now, what about those of us who are not yet ready for meditation? Because another thing that has happened, especially since my sharing last Sunday night on clarifying the teachings of Michael Langford and Elie Ruzdar, is at least a couple of people have said, you know what, I realize I am not ready for the final end of the ego. I really am not. That's not what I'm ready for. That's a beautiful thing to realize that, if that's true, right? But then to ask, okay, so where am I on this journey? I'm here. Right? You must be here for a reason. So where am I on this journey? Is my focus still on, for example, learning to accept the world or love the world as it is without judging it and wanting it to be different? Accept the people in my life and love the people in my life as they are without judging them and wanting them to be different. You know, accept my personality self as it is without judging it and wanting it to be different. That's a very important part of preparing ourselves to go inward. We eliminate a lot of distractions with that, I call it purification process of learning to accept everything as it is and be happy with everything as it is. In fact, I think when A Course in Miracles talks about the real world, the Course in Miracles is talking about getting to this phase where we are no longer judging what's around us and what even appears to be us, but we have come into a loving relationship with the illusion. The Course says that the real world is still a dream. At one point it calls it the happy dream. That's because we've let go of our judgment of everything and wanting everything to be different. And when we do that, what we've really done is we've removed a lot of mental distraction. So there's a lot less for the mind to talk about when we close the eyes. It will still find something to talk about in the beginning, I promise you. But there's just a lot less. We don't close our eyes and worry about our problems and worry about this personality in my life that I can't stand or whatever, because we're in loving acceptance of the outer world. So the outer world is no longer a distraction. And now we can prepare for what the Course calls heaven, which is beyond the world entirely. There is no perception in heaven. So now that we have this purified mind, and by the way, the Hindus would call this sattvic. Now that we have this purified mind and there is much less distraction, NTI also refers to this, it calls it the fourth phase of awakening. Now that we are free from these distractions and we want only one thing, Now we close our eyes, and with that we begin the inward journey in a way that we maybe could not have before because there would have been too many distractions. So if you're not ready for the inward journey with the intention of ending the ego, mind death, as Michael Langford calls it, that doesn't mean you don't still have your own current goal or current spiritual aspiration, as Ajahn Shanti calls it, that you are working on that still requires time alone. Do you know how I let go of the judgment of everything and everyone and the wanting everything and everyone to be different and all of the false beliefs that were a part of that? It was by being alone in contemplation and journaling and looking, hours and hours and hours alone. Last week I talked about the spiritual path as having two parts, right? There was the horizontal journey to the bottom of the mountain, and the horizontal journey was a road that had deep, deep pits and high hills. And interestingly, yesterday we went four-wheeling, and we got on it, and we have a Rubicon, a high Rubicon. It can do almost anything. But we actually came to a road. It was a horizontal road with dips and hills in it, and one of those dips was so deep that the Rubicon could not make it. It would bottom out at the top of the little hill, and the tires would not reach the bottom of the gut. So the only way to have gone through that would be to get out and walk through it. Even the Rubicon could not go. And that's what this horizontal road that I call purification is like. We have to walk this road with these hills and these deep, deep ruts, and the mind gets purified as we willingly walk this. And when we have finally finished that road, which is still a horizontal road with no true elevation gain, which means we still believe I'm me, or I'm a happier me, but I still believe I'm me for the most part when you get to the end of the road, then you come to a trailhead that goes up the mountain. And that's the inner journey that leads to the final death of the ego, or the death of me. And that's when we get into, you know, what our author of our letter is talking about when he refers to the consciousness that is the same dwelling in all things, and we awaken to that as what I am, not mentally, but in a very real way. That is what I am, right? That's what happens in that mountain climb. But both phases of the journey require that focused time alone with your individual inner spiritual intuition, your authority. We have a core value that says we realize everyone is equal. I have one friend that's asked me a couple of times recently, are you sure I can do that? Yes, I am, right? We realize everyone is equal. And no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. Another way to interpret that is, there's no way you're going to come in here to the sanctuary, listen to someone or discuss a book and get something from it that is going to be the magic pill for you. Like Nisargadatta says, we do not dispense magic here. He says, I'm going to call it the destination for now. I forget his words. Everyone wants the destination, but refuses the means, or we could say refuses the way. The way is time alone with your authority, which is your inner spiritual intuition. And the only way you're going to cultivate your inner spiritual intuition, because some people say, mine's just not strong enough. The only way you're going to cultivate the spiritual intuition so that the individual guidance becomes stronger is also time alone. I will tell you right now, although I don't know the details, and I could be completely wrong, it is very possible that in the coming months we are going to reduce the number of hours that the Awakening Together Sanctuary is open, and that the external catalyst for this is a new law, a new labor law about how many hours we can be working if we make under a certain amount of money, which we do. Yes, Sonia just wrote it. My reaction to the law was more alone time. When we started Awakening Together, before we even studied the laws that govern organizations like ours, we decided that the law was a part of our guidance. And so when this law came along, I thought, look at this. The law is telling us we need more alone time. And that's not only for those of us who work here, but for some of you as well who maybe are spending too much time with the outer spiritual preparing the ground and still not yet enough time with the inner spiritual cultivation. And let's remember what this is really about. Why do you think Holy Spirit started this organization? So that we could all hang out together and be friends? I mean, that sounds sweet, but no, I know that's not true. It's so that we would awaken from the belief that this is what we are, this person, these people, and awaken to what we truly are. And we do that with alone time. This person who wrote this letter maybe realizes how lucky he is to be in a cell with very few distractions, although he's still craving some outer mighty companions. And again, that preparing the ground is still important. He has been blessed with a cave. In fact, that's what I told him in the letter to him. I said, your cell is your cave. I said, my office with my purple sofa is my cave. And although I could continue, because there's so much more in this letter, that I could talk about, I noticed from the clock that it is time for me to be quiet, and so I will. So, let's contemplate this message, inspired by a man in a jail cell, who's telling us the difference between preparing the ground and true spiritual cultivation. And let's also contemplate the purpose of Awakening Together. Why did Holy Spirit want to start this organization? How can it help us? And how can we turn it into just another obstacle? As we listen to Where I Belong by Corey Asbury, and also, if you want to, Barb will provide a link where you can donate to support Awakening Together and the ways it is helpful. Thank you. continues, but I felt like that was enough of it, so I have turned it down. One of my favorite lines in that song, which I posted in the room, is, now I'm having trouble finding it. It's that I finally found love alone in your presence, although I don't quite see where I posted it, but I finally found love alone in your presence. And again, alone, I think, is one of the key things. And, you know, I talked about being an explorer. I didn't get to talk about the virgin jungle, but virgin meaning it's a place where we haven't been before. This journey is a journey we haven't walked before. So it's a virgin journey for each and every one of us as individuals. And it's a jungle because there are many distractions along the way. So this is why we need to really prepare the ground so that we, when we are in that jungle and a distraction is arising, something from our ground preparing comes into the meditation to alert us at just the right time. And this is where the reading of the books and the listening of teachers and the discussion is important. Which is why we don't disband awakening together, right? That stuff is important. We just want to remember the difference between the preparing the ground and the spiritual cultivation and make sure we don't spend all of our time preparing the ground and none of our time in the spiritual cultivation. All right, so is there someone who would like to share? I realize that we're supposed to be done in a minute, but we'll still take sharing. Yes, Dolores, the mic is yours.
Good morning, everyone. I joined kind of at the tail end of what you were speaking about, but it's just so funny how Holy Spirit or my guidance gives me what I need. You know, I moved to Knoxville, and this weekend was particularly hard for me because I'm here alone. I have no family here, and very few friends. And I just had a difficult time this weekend, and I guess being here, I just woke up confused the past 2 days, and not wanting to really get out of bed. And, you know, you think you're on a spiritual path. And I meditate here and there. It's not really consistent. And I've been doing that for a couple years, just not a regular consistent practice. But I guess, though, this time has been given to me. I think I was telling someone yesterday that the distractions, that I don't have the distractions that I had in Baltimore, but I just, you know, I guess I don't know how to, anyway, this, I got to listen to the talk in its entirety, what you gave this morning, but obviously I feel like it was for me. So thank you, Regina, letting go of the mic.
Yeah, thank you, Dolores. I do think that you will love listening to the talk in its entirety, and I think that your friend who said you don't have the distractions, or whoever pointed that out to you, they were completely correct. We started by reading a letter from a man in a jail cell, and I commented that his jail cell is his cave, my office with my purple sofa is my cave, and maybe Knoxville, Tennessee is your cave, a gift from God. Gloria, the mic is yours.
Okay, good morning. Can you hear me okay? Okay, great. A couple of things. Thank you for, first of all, I'm just, you know, really moved by the openness of Regina with not discrediting or discounting the gentleman or gentle person who wrote the letter to us, and taking the time to bring that was really a strong message, I think, that of what Awakening Together is really about. I also appreciated the reminder that we have the opportunity right now to create and to have the type of organization, the type of community that remains forever open, forever accepting, so that people like Dolores, the story that she just told about feeling alone in a new place, I too went through relocating to 1,300 miles away from my family several years ago, all in perfect alignment with my spiritual journey. Also had to go through rebuilding friendships, still going through that, still feeling very much alone. As a matter of fact, you know, that was one of the things that I recently was looking at, actually, is tithing time. I was listening to a Joel Goldsmith audio, and he talked about 10% of a 24-hour day is 2.5 hours per day of time spent. So, you know, I'm actually looking at ways now to tithe that kind of time, increasing my time in meditation, you know, and having gone through this purification process or still going through that, you know, so many things that I was geared towards being a part of, different types of groups, a lot of that desire has fallen away. There's only so many things that I find any interest in anymore. My meditation in the mornings is basically me in meditation contemplating. I actually do the 8 a.m. Thursday morning meditation. That requires me to get involved in a different kind of way. But my own personal meditation time is just that. It's just me, my quiet time. And so I had also struggled with that, you know, what's up with all of this aloneness? Why, you know, why is it, you know, why is so much of it appearing? Why is that the guidance? So I found today's message to be really, really helpful, because as it stated here, we go forward alone, step by step. There's no, the aloneness that Dolores is feeling from being in a new place around new people and learning to reincorporate. It's because that's a necessary part of this journey, and that's what I'm learning as well. It's part of the territory, in the same way that cooking, being, if someone was a cook or a chef for a living, part of their everyday thing would be tasting food, seeing food. It just goes along with the territory. This is a narrow path. It's not one that's as wide open as the material world, and that's a lot of what I wanted the book club that I've just recently started to be about. That's where the name comes from, Between the Lines, because to me it's really important that we not just look to words and books and teachers and this type of thing to increase our path. It is such a it requires that aloneness, that spiritual practice that moves us ever so perfectly in the direction of that which we are here to accomplish, whatever we're here to do, however far we're meant to go on this path. We get there step by step, in our own way, at our own time, and that's just the way it is. So I want to digress here, because I could go on and on. We could turn this into an entire another gathering this morning, but I'll digress and say that I have just one last comment that I'd like to make about Regina's teaching today. You talked about it being a mistake to believe any of these teachings, a mistake to believe the Course or Michael Langford or any of the teachings, that belief leads to externals, the mind, the outer world. Then my question is, what is the alternative to believing that? What alternative do we have once we discover or incorporate or extract the truth and the nugget out of what we're working with, what is the alternative to belief? Thank you for letting me share, and I'll let go of the mic.
Yeah, the alternative to belief is your inner spiritual intuition. In fact, A Course in Miracles in the introduction says that the only, listen to that word, only, the only purpose of A Course in Miracles is to help some people get in touch with their inner guide. So it's to lead you to that spiritual intuition, to help clear enough away enough of the weeds so that you can find that spiritual intuition, and then you follow it. And of course, we all know that the Course says eventually forget this Course. We also know that at the end of the workbook, Jesus tells you that there's no more time for words and you're being placed in the hands of your inner teacher, right? But then we study the Course for 30, 40, 50 years and we seem to miss finding that spiritual intuition and just following it. You know, NTI talks about the same thing in NTI Revelation chapter 1, how there will be symbols that are sent to guide us, and we're to use those symbols as long as they are helpful, but then we also need to let go of them when the time has come. And in fact, it says that our path is to keep moving forward by letting go until there is nothing left to hold on to. So what I find is that spiritual intuition guides within, not through belief. But sometimes when spiritual intuition guides from within, it's repeating a line from A Course in Miracles or NTI or Elie Ruzdahl or Michael Langford. So it uses that. But the difference is one is coming from within and the other one is outside. It's at the head level. And I can tell the difference in the sanctuary between people that are coming from belief and people that are coming from intuition. And the way that I can tell the difference is that, you know, when someone is speaking, if you are tuned into intuition, you would hear what a person is saying, even if they use words completely different from your normal spiritual vocabulary. Inner intuition can hear. It listens. It hears. The very first song I played today was called Listen Closely. And inner spiritual intuition hears for you, right? You hear through it. But I'll watch people type from their belief system while someone else is speaking as clear as can be. And I know that their believing is blocking their hearing. That's what you want to watch out for. I would recommend never, ever, ever typing in something different than what the speaker is currently saying. Because probably 90, if not 99% of the time you do that, you're coming from belief. Instead, when you notice you want to type in and disagree with someone, pause and look at yourself. You are probably giving in to the ego every time you disagree with a speaker in this room. That's what believing does. And it keeps you focused out, and it keeps you focused in your own identity. All right, Sonia, the mic is yours.
Excellent, as always, Regina. That was a wonderful explanation. And I just wanted to go back to Dolores and use Regina's teaching to do it. But it is an excellent teaching. But before I do that, I love the Joel Goldsmith method of inspiration, of experience on a daily basis. When you sit down to meditate, you start with truth. You start with what Michael Langford would call a word from an awakened one. You start with truth, and then you invite inspiration to come in, and that manna is fresh, and that manna is not rehashed, and that manna is always new and perfect and just for that time. But I wanted to encourage Dolores, who, first of all, is the bravest woman in the world because she ziplined over Las Vegas. That is really, really brave. But also, you're kind of ziplining now too, Dolores. Regina, years back, had we talked about the spiritual path. It was the teaching. And she said, you know, there's times when you're just fat and happy and blissful and you're hanging with your mighty companions and you're doing the happy dance and living there and everything is just so wonderful. You're not really progressing much spiritually. She called it the peaks and the valleys. It's when you really are in the depths of the valley, when it's dark, when you're not sure of anything, when you're looking for light, in those times, it's not always the happy dream. It's not always wonderful. You're not fat and happy and surrounded by people who adore you and are pouring Gatorade on your head because you're a spiritual winner. But it's in those times that we grow. Anyway, Regina, you might want to tell the story better, but I just wanted to tell you we love you.
Oh, Sonia, I don't remember the story, but you seem to have told it quite well, so I don't remember anything that I said years ago. But I will say that I noticed that Jacqueline wrote something in the room I wanted to go back to, because I had talked about if you disagree with someone, it is probably coming from your ego and your belief system, because spirit hears. Spirit hears well. Jacqueline has written, or if you agree and try to fit what they are saying into your belief system. Absolutely. So if somebody's in here, for example, that's not A Course in Miracles and that's your thing, and then you say, oh, you know, and that's like in the Course, and you try and point it back to the Course, that also can just show that you have an attachment to a particular spiritual system and you're still trying to hold on to your identity. And in fact, in this particular letter, he talked about how intellectual assent, which means agreement, and intellectual dissent, disagreement, are not spiritual cultivation. So both agreeing and disagreeing can be the same trap. If you pay attention to the listening of spiritual intuition, you'll notice there's neither agreeing or disagreeing in it. There's just listening, right? There's just hearing in a very deep way. So both the agreeing and the disagreeing can come from ego. Pretty amazing. Let's see, I guess I just want to say that, again, if you want to write to this man or if you want a copy of this letter, you can email me, reginadonakers@yahoo.com, assuming you're an Awakening Together member. I will send it to you. I don't feel comfortable sharing it with people I don't know, because it was, in a way, a private letter to Awakening Together. But if you are from Awakening Together, it was a letter to you, so I will be happy to share it with you. And, you know, I recommend reading the letter. Like I said, I quit talking because the clock said, oops, you better shut up now. But I could have talked for a long time on this letter. And the reason for that is because I've spent so much time contemplating it and have gone deeper and deeper in clarity, sometimes on just one word, you know, like the word virgin, as it's written here, talking about the virgin jungle, just focusing on that word virgin has brought a lot of clarity. So I could have talked for 2 or 3 hours on the letter, but didn't. But I don't need to. Because if you contemplate the letter with your own individual inner spiritual intuition, you will get the clarity directly within yourself. Will you post it with your talk? I don't know, Jacqueline, because it's a private letter and I don't have that permission. So I don't think so. It doesn't feel right to post it, so I'll just trust that. But I will send it to any Awakening Together member who requests it. Jay, the mic is yours.
Can you guys hear me? Yeah, that was profoundly frustrating. It was right at the moment I was wanting to raise my hand. The application failed and I got booted out and I couldn't get audio back. And it all happened right at the moment I was trying to speak. So a great opportunity to just practice everything Regina was talking about. Well, amazing sharing and letter, and obviously this guy really gets it, and I think his words were, in his letter, were absolutely perfect for us and our ideals and what we strive to practice and embody rather than just believe. And on that note, hey Sonia, how are you? And on that note, there's a Michael Blankford group that I'm going to be starting this Thursday in the evening. It'll be a little earlier in the evening. It'll be before, I think it's maybe Lynn can post the time, Eastern, that it's going to be. And the focus there is going to be, again, not on the intellectual discussions of the books we read, as Regina was mentioning, so much more as the sharings of our contemplations or the encouragement of the inner practice, which is really where the spiritual cultivation happens. That was the words that the gentleman in the letter used, from who's currently in prison, the spiritual cultivation. And, you know, that word obviously is from gardening. When you cultivate a garden, you, you know, are taking care of it, not only preparing the soil, but watering the plants. I'm growing 3 sunflower plants right now that my sister gave me, and they require constant watering or they wither. So it's been a good practice for me to remember to water them every day and, kind of make that a little spiritual practice. And, when they have seeds this fall, I'm going to send some back to my sister. But just a reminder to everyone that that Michael Langford group is starting this Thursday, and please join us if you're interested. And it's going to focus on practice and the inner being rather than belief. Regardless of your opinions about any teachers, it's really about the inner practice. So as we've been discussing today, the alone time with God within self. So thank you for posting that, Lynn.
All right, thank you. And we have gone way over here, but I did select a closing song. I'm going to go ahead and close with that. This is actually kind of a fun closing song. It's from Disney. It's called Bare Necessities. but I'll tell you what the song has to do with today's discussion for me. You know, Michael Langford, as you all know, recommends looking to let go of all of your unnecessary activities so that you can spend all of your time in meditation. Again, some of us may still be in a different phase of the spiritual path. We may need to spend our time in journaling and contemplation. But the point is to let go of unnecessary activity and get that alone time for whatever you need. And that's what Look for the Bare Necessities is about to me. If you look for the bare necessities, you're looking at the bare necessities that you need that frees up that time, that spiritual tithing time that Gloria talked about, so that you can have that alone time. And there's also a wonderful line in this song, look for the bare necessities, and then the bare necessities of life will come to you. That reminds me of seek first the kingdom of heaven and all else will be added to you. I hear that in a couple of different ways. One is that there's a lot of things that the mind might worry about. How am I going to get this? How am I going to make sure this is taken care of? Someone even said yesterday, how do I know if I'm spending enough time with my family? If you put God first, truth first, your spiritual path first, your spiritual aspiration first, intuition will even guide you in that when it's time to go and be with your family and everything else. Spiritual intuition can take care of everything. You just have to do your part, which is seek ye first the kingdom, right? So look for the bare necessities, and the bare necessities of life will come to you, otherwise known as seek ye first the kingdom and all else will be added to you. So here we go, The Bare Necessities by Disney.
I mean the bare necessities of Mother Nature. nature's recipes that bring the bare necessities of life. Wherever I wandered, wherever I roam, I couldn't be found out my big home. The bees are buzzing in the tree to make some honey just for me. When you look under the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants, then maybe try a few. Necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you. Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities. That's why a bear can rest at ease with just the bare necessities of life. Now when you pick a pawpaw for a prickly pear, and you prick a wrong paw, well, next time, beware. Don't pick the prickly pear from the paw. When you pick a pear, try to use the claw. But you don't need to use the claw when you pick a pear of the big pawpaw. Have I given you a clue? The bare necessities of life will come to you.
All right, and I'm going to turn that down because, you know, I can feel that it is time for me to go be with my family. I have one phone call first to make. Phil, I promised you I'd call you right after the gathering, and I will call you right now. But then I'm going to go and be with my family, and I will be back here tonight with you all at 7 p.m. Eastern. All right? Have a great day. Bye-bye.